Book of 2 Samuel, chapter 3. We're going to start from verse 1.
Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker.
Okay, now in this verse it says, there was a war between Saul's son and David. As we learned last week, Abner anointed Saul's son and made him a king. And here, David was anointed a king, and David was serving as a king. But the Abner and Saul's son had the 11 tribe under them. David had only one tribe, tribe of Judah. So they were fighting. And last week we learned that Abner comes and says, we don't have to fight. We are fighting for no reason. We are all brethren, so we should not be fighting. But at the same time, Abner killed one of the good warriors, and he knew that somebody is going to kill him. And he was afraid of his life, so he just comes and says, we don't have to fight, and we will be brethren. From that time, almost war stopped. But here they say it was war going on between David and Saul's son. And Saul's son's warriors were defeated, and slowly, slowly, David started getting stronger, and Saul's son and their armies were getting weaker. And today we are going to learn that even the Saul's son also going to be killed, and then David will get all the tribes under him. Verse 2.
And unto David were sons born in Hebron, and his firstborn was Amnon of Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and his second Chileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite, and the third Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur, and the fourth Adonijah, the son of Haggith, and the fifth Shephatiah, the son of Abital, and the sixth Ithream by Eglah, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron.
Now here they are saying David got six children at that particular time. So David was ruling before he became a king over all the Israeli people. 5 years or 7 years, he was having children after children, and six children were born. And now David is still not satisfied with the sixth wife. He wants more wives. So we will see what he does. He tells Abner, bring my wife, which I got with the Philistines. Foreskin, I gave 100 skins, and I got that wife. So I want that wife. That lady was already married now, and happily was living with another man. But the David wants that wife also. Let's read the verse 6.
And it came to pass, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine, whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. And Ishbosheth said to Abner, wherefore hast thou gone in unto my father's concubine? Then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ishbosheth, and said, am I a dog's head, which against Judah do show kindness this day unto the house of Saul thy father, to his brethren, and to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman?
Abner is old man now, but at the same time, Saul is dead, and Saul had concubines. So he took one of the concubines, and so Saul's son didn't like it. The Saul's son started accusing him, why did you take my father's concubine? And Abner was so angry because Abner is the only one anointed Saul's son. So he might be thinking, I'm the one made you king, and who are you telling me what to do and what not to do? So Abner got so mad, and Abner is trying to tell him, do you know I help you, I help Saul's brethren and everybody, and each and every person I helped, and I made you king. Otherwise, David would have been king, and you won't be king because David is much stronger. Not only that, he's saying David's supposed to be king, and his kingdom should be ruling all over the Israeli people. So he's trying to scare him that you're going to lose your kingdom because you are fighting with me. And so he tried to take revenge on Saul's son. Verse 9.
So do God to Abner and more also, except as the Lord hath sworn to David, even so I do to him. To translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah, from Dan even to Beersheba.
Now he's telling him, God already promised through Samuel that David will be king. So he's saying his kingdom will be from Dan over to the Beersheba, means all Israeli people will be under him. Right now you have 11 tribes with you, but you don't know how to rule, you're fighting with me, so I'm going to let the David defeat you, and the kingdom will be belong to David, because this is the will of God, and this is what he was trying to tell Saul's son. Not only that, he got the idea, and he also going to call David and explain to him that I'm going to give all the Israeli people under you. And David also likes the idea, so he says, I'm going to do that. But David says, if you want to come and see me, you better bring my wife. Don't come and see my face without bringing my wife. Verse 11.
And he could not answer Abner a word again, because he feared him. And Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, whose is the land? Saying also, make thy league with me, and behold, my hand shall be with thee to bring about all Israel unto thee. And he said, well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is, thou shalt not see my face, except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face.
Now, here, when the Abner gave some kind of warning to Saul's son and scared him, even though he was a king, but he didn't say anything, he kept his mouth shut. Abner sent the message to David, this is what I'm going to do. All the kingdoms will be under you. So David liked the idea, but the David says, listen, you don't come empty-handed. I want you to bring my wife, Michal. And so he tells the Abner to bring the Michal, but Abner has no authority or no power over Michal, because when he went to the Saul's concubine, his son was very angry. So he might have said, it's not written here, he might have said to David, hey David, listen, I have no authority over that Michal. She is already married, and only Saul's son can do that, but I cannot do it. So the David talks to Saul's son. Let's read the verse 14.
And David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, deliver me my wife Michal, which I espoused to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Phaltiel, the son of Laish.
Now, as soon as David talks to Saul's son, he said, okay, I'll get it for you. And he goes and gets Michal from that her husband, and give it to the Abner. Now Abner is bringing them, and this husband is crying and weeping, going after the wife. The wife might be crying, but that doesn't say here. So he was fallen in love with his Michal, and he liked this wife. So he is crying, and lady is crying or not, it doesn't say here, but he is crying and following her miles and miles. And then Abner tells him, hey, go back, go to your house. And if he doesn't listen, Abner is going to kill him. He knows Abner is a very cruel person. So he goes back to his own house. Let's read the verse 16.
And her husband went with her along, weeping behind her to Bahurim. Then said Abner unto him, Go, return, and he returned. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, Ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then do it, for the Lord hath spoken of David, saying, By the hand of my servant David I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines, and out of the hand of all their enemies.
Abner is bringing this wife. Husband is crying. He told the husband to go away, and he returned to his house. And now he's coming, and he brings the wife. The same time, the Abner is very smart and a tricky person. So he invites all the Israeli elders and tells them, Hey, listen, when Saul and David were disagree with each other and Saul wanted to kill David, at that time some of you wanted David to be king. Well, this is your opportunity now. Saul is dead, and I am agree with you people, because this is God's will that David should be king over all Israel. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to talk to all the Israeli people, Benjaminites and all other 11 tribes, and I'll bring them together. So he's encouraging people to agree with him, so all people will be under David. That was a good idea and everybody liked it. But at the same time, Saul's son is a king. And if you remember, Saul, last time when he met the David, he said, Listen, I know one day you're going to be king, but please have mercy on my children, my brethren, my family, so treat them good. And David says, Okay, I'll do that. Same thing, Jonathan said the same thing. He said, You know, make a covenant with me, and my children and my family should be, you know, taken care, and David promised him also. So now here we see Abner is trying to go against Saul's son and trying to destroy Saul's son. But in this chapter, we'll see Saul's son was killed. But doesn't say here why those people who killed him, why they killed him. And those people were Saul's son's captains working under Abner, and they are protecting Saul's son. And those are the people, they went and killed Saul's son. I start thinking, why these people got that much courage to go and kill the king? I thought maybe Abner gave them the signal. I'm going to go and talk to David. David will be king over everyone. So this is an obstacle that Saul's son will not like it, and he might kill me or something would happen. So you take care of him. Something like that. But those people waited until what's going to happen to Abner. So let's read a little bit further, verse 19.
And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin, and Abner went also to speak in the ears of David and Hebron, all that seemed good to Israel, and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin.
Abner talked to David's all the elders, then he goes to the Benjaminites, that is the kings. King Saul was from Benjamin's family, and so he goes to there and he convinced them also that they might be saying, Saul's son is not capable to run the whole country. David is anointed, David is chosen by God, and eventually David will be the king. So he is convincing those people, and they are convinced also. And then he brings some people to meet the David, verse 20.
So Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him, and David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast.
He is still afraid of David, so Abner brings 20 warriors with him to meet the David. And he is telling David, you are going to be in charge of all Israeli people. David liked the idea, and now they are going to have a feast. And he is saying, make a covenant with me that you will not do any harm to me, and we will be together and things like that. David liked the idea. Now these people having the feast. But as you know, there was a man called Joab, and Asahel, the man, was running fast. He was killed by Abner, and Joab was very mad, but he could not do anything. He was looking for a chance. So now, hear what happens. David gives the feast to these people, and I don't know why Joab's another brother, Abishai, they were not invited, or they might be somewhere else, because we see in this chapter Joab and his brother, they were going and having riots somewhere and defeating other people and bringing a lot of loots for David. And so they were a little bit busy, and so they were not invited in this dinner. So now these people have the dinner and see what happens. Let's read the verse 21.
And Abner said unto David, I will arise and go, and I will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace.
The feast is over. David is happy. Abner is happy. Abner again saying to David, make a covenant with me. You are not going to fight with me, or you're not going to destroy me. It's not, doesn't say here, but the underline is this, because he's afraid of his life. And so he made a covenant. He said, okay, now you go in peace. We are not going to fight with you. Maybe he might have said, go and tell Saul's son, don't fight with us, and we will be all together. And so now he is going in peace. But see what happens. When Joab's brother Asahel got killed, because he was going after Abner, Abner says, don't follow me, go left or right, take somebody's armor and we'll fight, don't follow me. But he kept on following, and that brother was killed. That time David supposed to say something to Abner. Why did you do that? The man did not have any weapon, and he was just following you. You should have talked with him, should have made a peace with him. Why did you kill him? But that David was afraid of Abner. Just like David was afraid of Saul, Abner was his right-hand man. Means he was the leader of the army. He was the captain of this army. So David didn't say anything, and he kept quiet. And so Abner started thinking, David cannot do anything to me, and now he made a covenant with me. He's not going to kill me. I'll be all right. And so Abner is now going with peace. Got a food, got a party, and now he's going in peace, thinking, thank God I'm not going to get killed now. Verse 22.
And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace.
Joab and other warriors, they coming. The feast is over, and they heard. Joab came, had a party, and David sent him away in peace. And these people might be thinking, we went to war, we got a loot, we got lots of money for David, and David doesn't care about my brother died, and David doesn't care about us, and David let this man go. So Abner is a little bit upset. And so Abner goes to and talks to David. Why did you do this? Because Joab was thinking, Abner is a tricky man. He might be coming to find what David is doing, what the David's plans are, where he's going to go and what he's going to do. And then he will trap David and kill David, and then Saul's son will be king over all the Israeli people. That's what the Joab is thinking. So see what Joab is saying to the David. Verse 23.
When Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he had sent him away, and he has gone in peace. Then Joab came to the king and said, What is that done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away, and he is quite gone? Thou knowest Abner the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest. And when Abner was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sarah, but David knew it not.
Joab comes and talks to David. Why did you allow this Abner go in peace? This man is a crooked man. He came to find out all about you. So why did you allow him to go? And David doesn't say anything. David is afraid of Joab, and David is afraid of Abner. Even though he is a king, but he still doesn't have the authority and power as a king. So he is very softly keeping quiet, because he knows Joab's brother was got killed. And so Joab is angry, and Abner is trying to help David. So David cannot say anything to Abner, so David just kept quiet. So now what the Joab is doing, without David knowing, he sends the people to bring the Abner back, thinking that David wants to talk to you, and now he made a covenant with you, so you're not afraid, come back and we want to talk to you. And so the Abner might be thinking, well, David made a covenant with me. He cannot kill me. So he comes back. Let's read the verse 27.
And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother.
Joab did. He called him back. He came and he took him aside. He said, hey, come here. I want to talk to you. At that time, Abner didn't have any weapon. And so the Joab took the knife and killed him, and Joab died. When the Joab died, David is very mad. But David cannot do anything. David cannot kill Joab, because Joab's brother was killed by Abner. So David was angry, but at the same time David is thinking what the Benjamin's people will be thinking, what the other tribes will be thinking. They might be thinking David indirectly killed Abner, because he is the leader of that Saul's son. So this is maybe David's doing. So now David wants to make his name clear that I didn't do it. So see what David does. Verse 28.
And afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and on all his father's house, and let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread. So Joab and Abishai his brother slew Abner, because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle.
Now here what happened, David got so mad, and he start cursing the Joab and his family. He said, in your family, there should be leprosy. In your family, people should be having some sickness and disease and walking with a cane. In your families, the people will be having problem, means begging for food, and there won't be any food, and this and that. And so he's cursed all this family in front of other Israeli people, to showing that he's really mad at these people. And then he does something that he doesn't eat anything, crying and telling Joab's people, now you tear your clothes and everybody should be mourning and weeping and things like that. So he gives advice and everybody does the same. Verse 31.
And David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner. And King David himself followed the bier. And they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept.
As he told them, everybody should mourn for Abner, so the other Israeli people will think David did not kill him, so this was like an accident or something. And so they cried and they wept and they wept. Verse 33.
And the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth.
David is upset. He's thinking, Abner is a warrior. He's a very excellent person. How did he get killed? Why he did not fight with Joab? Why he got killed like this? Because he says, this man's hands were not tied. His feet were not tied. He's a free man. He's a warrior. And how did he die like a fool? And actually, he died like a fool. But whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. He killed that young man. Very good warrior. Very good runner. Even though he gave warning. But at the same time, that brother didn't have any weapon. And so he killed him. And thinking, now I'm going to talk to David. David is my friend now. And he's a king and nobody can kill me. And I'm safe and things like that. But even though he was thinking I'm safe, but still Joab took a revenge. The point I'm making, sometimes people do wrong thing and they think, I have influence with the mayor, I have influence with the governor, I have influence with the the congressman or senators, even the president, so I can do anything. And people are doing it. But if you do crime, doesn't matter you're coming from the king's family or you have influence, God is the one who watches. God says, revenge is mine. God did not tell the Joab to kill Abner, but whatever he sowed, he reaped. And Abner died like a fool. Verse 34.
Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. And when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David sware, saying, so do God to me and more also, if I taste bread, or aught else, till the sun be down.
David cried, he wept, he said, Abner, Abner, you are a strong man, your hands were not tied, why did you die like this? And he wept, and not only that, he told other people to be sorry and weep and cry, and they did. And then it might be happen in the noontime or morning time, we don't know. And he did not eat anything, so the people came and said, King, please eat something. He said, I'm not going to eat until the sun goes down. And if I eat something, God should punish me because I am not going to eat because the very strong man, very good warrior died today. And he's thinking, I'm feeling so weak. I'm feeling so miserable. I'm feeling something missing. I cannot eat anything. And so the people start thinking, hey, David did not kill this man. This was not David's idea. This is Joab did it. And so people like the idea that David is not in this killing. And so the people did not find any fault in David. 36.
And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner the son of Ner. And the king said unto his servants, know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel?
See, so he proved it to the people, I'm not the one killer. I did not advise anybody to kill. So he cried and wept, and people came to know David's hand is not in this. And so he is saying the prince, Abner is like a prince, he's fallen. I'm so sorry, I feel weak. He is showing the people, this should not be happening under my kingdom, but now he is helpless. But thank God he did not say, kill the Joab and his brother and his family, only he cursed them. I don't know if we do the research, his curse came on those family or not. Those people were not doing something for nothing because they wanted to take the revenge. Their brother was killed by Abner. And so that's what happened. Verse 39.
And I am this day weak, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zeruiah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness.
Now he's saying, I'm so weak. What happened? David is strong and he is not old man. He is just the 30 years old. Saul was old man and Abner was the Saul's uncle. So he was old, but he was very strong and very wise person and giving some ideas and things like that. So the David thinking, I'm helpless. I'm afraid of some of the maybe Saul's warriors and things like that. There are some more good people, warriors are there. Maybe the war will break down because my people killed the Abner. Saul's son will take the revenge and he is a little bit scared. But as I said earlier, see what happens. Saul's son also will get killed. And the chapter finishes here. So go forward to the 2 Samuel, book of 2 Samuel, chapter 4.
And when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, his hands were feeble and all the Israelites were troubled.
Now, as soon as the Saul's son heard this, he got scared. Something is going to happen now. Because Abner, even though he shouted at Abner, hey, you went and took my father's concubine, why did you do this? And that's why the Abner was mad. That's why Abner came to the king and told him that I'm going to hand over Saul's kingdom to you. And David liked the idea, but accidentally Abner got killed. Abner never thought this would happen. I don't know, he talked to the Saul's son that I'm going to go and talk to the king and we'll hand over our kingdom to David. It's not written. So Saul's son was a little bit surprised and troubled. Verse 2.
And Saul's son had two men that were captains of bands. The name of one was Baanah, and the name of the other Rechab, the sons of Ramanah Berethite of the children of Benjamin. For Beeroth also was reckoned to Benjamin.
Now see, these two men, they are also Benjaminites. Saul was Benjaminites. His son is Benjaminites. And they got these two brothers taking care of Saul's son like a bodyguard, protecting him. And those people, they might be thinking, now if David comes to fight with Saul's son and we are his bodyguards, so we are the ones who are going to get killed first. So what we can do, kill the Saul's son and tell the David, we killed your enemy. So David might be very happy and he might be giving us some reward. That's what they were thinking. You can see, sometimes people thinking they are secure, they have bodyguards, they have people watching for them, but at the same time, these bodyguards killed the king. And that this king was not even alert. He never thought that my own bodyguard will kill me. They might be watching in front of his house, and he says it's the afternoon time, and he might be got a bad news, the Abner is dead. So maybe taking a nap. Sometimes people get a bad news and they get depressed. So he went to bed, maybe taking a nap in a noontime, afternoon time, and these people come and they killed him in his sleep. Let's read verse 3.
And the Beerothites fled to Gittaim and were sojourners there until this day. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. And the sons of Rimmon the Berethite, Rechab and Baanah, went and came about the heat of the day to the house of Ishbosheth, who lay on a bed at noon. And they came thither into the midst of the house, as though they would have fetched wheat, and they smote him under the fifth rib. And Rechab and Baanah his brother escaped.
Now here, see what happened. Saul's son Jonathan, he had one son, and there was a war going on. So his nurse took that boy and ran to protect his boy, but he fell, broke his legs, and became like a paralyzed and could not use his leg. But they were continuously telling the story why these two guards came, and in between they are telling the Jonathan's son's story. They should all finish this, what these people did, and then tell the story about Jonathan's son. But anyhow, these two warriors, two bodyguards, went there and killed the Saul's son. And that was very sad news to David, and all other people might be felt very bad. Verse 7.
For when they came into the house, he lay on his bed in his bedchamber, and they smote him and slew him and beheaded him and took his head and gat them away through the plain all night.
Can you imagine? These people, his own bodyguard, came and killed the man in his sleep, cut off his head, took the head, and they are going whole day's journey, whole night, and thinking that we'll take this proof that we killed Saul's son. Now there is no other king. You are the only king. So we did a great favor to you. And that's what they were thinking. Now they are coming to David to tell him that we killed Saul's son. Now you are the king. And so they might be thinking, we are already warriors. We will get some kind of reward. We don't know what they were thinking. But this is a foolish thing. Why you have to kill your own relatives? Because he's Benjaminites. And these brothers, they are Benjaminites. They are all relatives to each other. They are coming and killing Saul's son and taking his head and not having any fear. Why are they doing this? So see what happens. Verse 8.
And they brought the head of Ishbosheth unto David to Hebron, and said to the king, Behold the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul thine enemy, which sought thy life, and the Lord hath avenged my lord the king this day of Saul and of his seed.
They are so proud, they have killed the Saul's son. Now there is no more king in Benjaminites. So they are saying, we killed your enemy, and this is the proof. And so they are saying now, Saul doesn't have any more children. You remember Jonathan and two other brothers, they were killed in the fight. Philistine people killed them. And the same night, Saul was killed. So the only one son was remaining. And so now they killed him. And they say there is no more Saul's seed is there to bother you. That means there will be any more king. You are the king, and this is the proof. And they were so happy and so proud that they did this something like that. But the David was so angry. Killing somebody in their sleep, that is not a good thing. Because you cannot kill somebody, helpless person, in their sleep. That is very cruel thing. So David is angry. Okay, verse 9.
And David answered Rechab and Baana his brother, the sons of Rimmon the Berethite, and said unto them, As the Lord liveth, who hath redeemed my soul out of all adversity. When one told me, saying, Behold, Saul is dead, thinking to have brought good tidings, I took hold of him and slew him in Ziklag, who thought that I would have given him a reward for his tidings.
Now David is giving him an example. He said, Listen, I was in Ziklag. The war was going on between Israelites and Philistine. And Philistine killed Saul, and he was wounded. At that time, somebody came to me and he said, I killed the Saul. Actually, he did not kill the Saul. Saul fell on his own sword and he died. But one man came with the Saul's crown and his bracelet and telling David, David, see, I killed the Saul and this is the proof. And he said, when that man came and started bragging that I killed the king, that man was thinking, I'm going to get some reward from David. But he says, I arrested him and I killed him. So he is trying to say, that man gave me the bad news and I killed that person. Don't you think you giving me the same kind of news and you thinking that you're not going to get killed? So he is trying to scare them. And not only that, he really try to kill them. Okay, verse 11.
How much more when wicked men have slain a righteous person in his own house upon his bed? Shall I not therefore now require his blood of your hand and take you away from the earth?
Now he is telling, you killed the man. He was sleeping. He was a righteous man, means he did not do any harm to you. He was your king. And you are not supposed to do like this. So you are going to get punishment. And so their punishment was, not only they were killed, but their hands and their feet were chopped off and they were hanged, and whole world can see, means all Israeli people can see, this is the people, kill the king, so this is the punishment. And that's the way, verse 12.
And David commanded his young men, and they slew them and cut off their hands and their feet and hanged them up over the pole in Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the sepulchre of Abner in Hebron.
They took the head of the Saul's son and buried in the Hebron where the Abner was buried. But these people, they only stabbed the king, Saul's son. But now, not only they got killed, but their hands and feet, they were cut off and they were hanged, both of them. And that's the miserable way those people died. Let's just think, why people do such a thing? Thinking that they are going to get some promotion if they do something like that and they will be blessed. But they don't think, if you do not recognize your king, your tribe, your relative, and you kill that man in a sleep, and those people got their reward. We saw Abner. Abner thought, I'm a good man, I'm a warrior, and nobody is like me, and I killed the Israel, and nobody did anything to me, and now I made a covenant with David, and David is not going to kill me. But Abner died like a fool, because you think that I'm somebody, and nobody's over me, and the Abner died like a fool. Abner might have told these people, you killed the king, Saul's son, because I'm going to go and make a covenant with David, so we will be free. But they waited until some news comes, because they knew Abner is going to the enemy's territory. He killed Joab's brother, and something is going to happen. But we don't know. In those days, they didn't have a telephone, any news. You saw that they took the head of Saul's son, and they have to walk miles and miles and miles and whole night journey, and then they came and gave the news. But they did the things, whatever they wanted to do. We see what you sow, that you're going to reap. We are living in this world. We have to learn one thing. When you have a fight with somebody, try to make up. Because the Bible says, when you're angry, sin not. And do not let the sun go down. That means he is saying, make up and don't fight and don't be angry with each other. When people angry with somebody and then they dwell on those things and they get more angry, then they go to bar and they talk to some other people and they say, I'll help you, and let's do this, and they kill people, not knowing that even that they kill somebody, they are going to go to jail. Only thing we can do, that forgive and forget, and don't keep the grudge. Job's people, nobody told them, Abner kill your brother, but your brother was fool. He told him, give him warning. Why your brother didn't listen? He died like a fool. Now, don't worry, don't kill the Abner. Nobody talked to each other, and all these people were keeping the grudge and killing each other. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to come to the house of God. Bless your people. Bless each and everyone. Our life is very short. You have created us very fragile body. Each and every organ is fragile. But only God's grace we live. So give us grace to be thankful. Not to having war, not to having fight. Live peaceably so we can live longer. When we have peace and joy, we can live longer. But when we are fighting and war, anxiety and fear and doubt, we don't live too long. So give us grace to live for you and for your glory. We commit ourselves into our loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.